Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we finished off our series we've been in for a couple of months now. We've been looking at the life of Simon Peter, really looking at the gospel through the life of Simon Peter in this series we've been calling Beyond the Shallows. And we finished up this week looking at Acts chapter 15. And Acts chapter 15 is a really pivotal moment in the life of the church. The gospel has really begun to spread outside of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Jesus said that's what was going to happen in Acts chapter 1. He said, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth, right, all the way. And that's what's beginning to happen, is that the gospel is spreading. Jewish people are becoming believers. Non-Jewish people, or what are called Gentiles, are becoming believers. The Apostle Paul has really begun his ministry, and he is this missionary taking the gospel from place to place. That's really getting into gear. But there's this question that arises. There are some Jewish believers who say to the Gentiles, you guys need to basically become Jewish if you're going to become Christian. And by that, they mean you gotta get circumcised. You have to follow the entire Old Testament law, not just the moral law, like the Ten Commandments, but the ritual law, the sacrifices, the ritual cleansings. You need to follow the law of Moses if you're going to be a Jesus follower. Basically, you have to become Jewish if you want to become Christian. And the Apostle Paul says, no, that is not the case. If you read the letter of Paul to the Galatians, that's what that whole book is basically about. That whole letter is about is, man, if you started this by trusting Christ, why do you think you're going to finish the race by submitting to the law and feeling like being circumcised is going to help you be a better, believer in Christ? He says, no, no, no. And so this debate and discussion, this conflict comes to a head. They go back to Jerusalem to the leaders of the church, Peter and John and James, the brother of Jesus, and they have this whole big church council about this question. And praise God, thankfully, the purity of the gospel is maintained. Peter says it, James says it. Peter says, look, we were not able to bear this yoke. Why? We were not able to follow the law. That's not what saves us. He ends up saying, we are saved the same way that the Gentiles are saved, and that is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, right? We're saved by grace through faith, not by following the Jewish law. And he's not telling those Jewish believers that it's bad that they follow the law. That's their heritage and tradition. But he's saying that is not something we should be putting on the necks. That yoke is not something we should be putting on the necks of our Gentile brothers and sisters. And James, the brother of Jesus, says much the same. One of the statements I had people underline, verse 19 of chapter 15, is he says, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles to follow Jesus, to be believers in Christ. We should not be putting hurdles up between people and following Jesus. And so the overarching point of the morning, the main point of Acts chapter 15 is, men, we are saved. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. It doesn't mean that when you follow Jesus, nothing happens. Absolutely, there are things that we do and things that we don't do because of God's love for us and because of our love for Jesus. But we're not saved by being good people or good church attendance or giving a certain amount of money or by physical circumcision or by following all the letter of the law in these ways, rituals and traditions. That's not what saves us. What saves us, the reason we are forgiven, is because Jesus died on the cross, gave his life for us, and then he rose again. And so it's by grace through faith that we're saved. That's the overarching main point. But I want to talk just briefly about one other thing from Acts chapter 15. Just the fact that we see conflict in the scriptures in the New Testament church, I think reminds us of something that I told our folks on Sunday, and that is that conflict in the church is inevitable. Conflict amongst brothers and sisters in Christ is inevitable. It's how we handle it that matters. And maybe you've heard folks talk about it in the context of marriage, right? You bring two sinners under one roof and they marry and covenant together in marriage, you're going to have conflict. Even people who love Jesus, sin, the vestiges of sin, right? The reality that we still fall short and sin at times, there's going to be conflict. There's times where your spouse is going to be selfish, times where you're going to be selfish, times where conflict is going to happen, either because of sin or just because of difference of opinion. It's the same in the church. We're going to have times where there's conflict in the family. And I think what's so important is when we look at chapters like Acts 15, we see how the church handles that conflict and how they don't handle that conflict. They don't cancel each other. The church, the believers at Antioch, so it's believers from Jerusalem that come all the way to Antioch to tell them, hey, you guys have to follow the law, you have to do this. The Antioch believers don't agree with them. Paul and Barnabas are there. They're like, that is not true. But they don't just say, hey, we're not going to listen to you, or we hate you, or, you know, we're breaking away from the church, you know, church schism. What they do is, I just noted five things, right? They come together. Right? Number one, they come together and they talk about it. They don't talk about each other, they talk to each other. Let me say that again, right? They don't talk about each other, they talk to each other. They talk about this, they come together. And secondly, when they come together, there's passionate debate and discussion. They argue with one another. Now, we have the guidelines from Christ, right? Be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry. Slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry. But that doesn't mean they lay down their convictions at the door. Praise God they didn't, right? They didn't compromise the gospel. That's another thing, right? They don't compromise the gospel. They do strive for unity, right? So 3 and 4 are, they strive for unity, but not at the expense of the gospel. They don't come up with some sort of hodgepodge solution where they're like, you know, Gentiles, why don't you get circumcised? And then, you know, Jewish Christians, give the Gentiles a free pass on this. They maintain the purity of the gospel. We are saved by grace through faith, but they do strive for unity. They want the Gentile and Jewish believers to be able to walk forward together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And 5, and finally, they stay on mission. Right? We're going to continue to take the gospel. Let's keep the main things. Let's keep taking the gospel to those who have not yet heard it. And let's make disciples in obedience to Jesus. And I think that's a wonderful reminder and blueprint for us, right? That we should, when conflict arises, let's keep the main things. Let's make sure we are putting the gospel first. Let's strive for unity. Let's not compromise the gospel. Absolutely, we're going to have differing opinions on things, and it's okay to share with one another and talk with one another and debate those things, even passionately, in relationship with one another. But we talk to each other, not about each other. We strive for the unity of the gospel and stay on mission. I hope that's a blessing to you from the Word of God. Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you just to pray. Take some time to pray for yourself. Father, we love you. We thank you that the gospel is not Jesus plus these other things that we have to do in order to be saved. But God, it's you, Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's what you did at the cross for us when you died and rose again, that we might be saved. God, we know that in trusting you, that means it absolutely produces life change. But thank you that our salvation is not dependent on our own effort, but on the finished work of Jesus. God, we love you. Help us, Father, as we have conflict at times as brothers and sisters, that we deal with it well in a way that honors you and in a way that allows us to move forward, unified on mission for the kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time to pray for yourself.